welcome to South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. I'm your host, Nithya Subramanian, an editor at the Institute. With less than 2 months for the forthcoming US elections, both the Democrats and Republicans are leaving no stone unturned to woo voters. The Indian diaspora has become a fairly important factor this time around. The Indo-Americans, with a population of about 2.4 million, are the second largest immigrant group after the Mexicans. They are also the most successful, with a median household income of 107,000, almost twice that of American-born households. To tell us more about the role of the Indian diaspora in these elections, we are joined by Dr. Sanjay K. Mishra, Assistant Professor of Political Science and International Relations at Drew University. He is also the author of Desis Divided, The Political Lives of South Asian Americans. Welcome, Dr. Mishra. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to start by asking you, how has the Indian diaspora reacted to the nomination of Kamala Harris as the vice presidential candidate of the Democratic Party?
Thank you for inviting me, and I'm glad to be talking about US elections and Indian diaspora. I think Indian diaspora, by and large, has reacted very positively to Kamala Harris's nomination for vice presidency. There is a fair amount of excitement. People are excited that for the first time, an Indian American is on the major party ticket. That has never happened. Nobody was expecting that, right? So there is a lot of excitement. People are excited and they are mobilizing. There's expectation that turnout would be very high among Indian Americans, right? So I would say overall, the reaction is very positive. Now, when we think about Kamala Harris as a candidate, before she became a vice presidential candidate, she was a senator and she was a political figure in California. And she always projected herself as a Black woman, and her Indian identity was not that much at the forefront initially, but she always foregrounded her Black identity, but she never hid her Indian American identity, and that was very much part of her identity. She wrote about that in her book. She wrote about her mother and how her mother came from India. So she was very open about it, right? So now people are coming to know about her Indian identity more, and they are getting to know her more in the convention speech where she gave her acceptance speech. She talked about her immigrant background. She also interestingly used the word chetty, which is a Tamil word for aunt. And people got really excited about that, and it got a lot of traction. So I think there is a lot of excitement. One thing I would add, that there is a little bit of attack on her from one quarter of Indian American diaspora. And that is a small quarter that is aligned with more with Hindu nationalist framework. And they have been opposing or attacking Democrats for questioning India on things like the crackdown on Kashmir, things like Citizenship Amendment Act, right? So the crowd that is close to Hindu nationalist framework, they are a little bit critical and they are expressing their critique, but I don't think it is swaying Indian American population in general in a big way.
We'll come back to the polarization bit, but before that, I'd also like to ask you, what about the rest of the South Asian diaspora? Do they see Kamala Harris as a South Asian or just an Indian? And is there any political cooperation among the South Asian communities there?
I feel that there is excitement among South Asians also, because they see her as a South Asian candidate, as an Asian American candidate. Right, so there is excitement among them. One thing is important to know that South Asians, particularly Pakistanis and Bangladeshis, they are even more democratic leaning than Indian Americans. So they are heavily democratic voting. And so they are very excited about Biden-Harris ticket. And because of their, generally their inclination to vote democratic, right? And Kamala Harris has taken very strong stance on civil rights issues, on things like Muslim ban, on things like hate crime. And so she's not seen as somebody who is close to India as opposed to Pakistan or as opposed to Bangladesh, right? She has built herself as somebody who is interested in protecting the rights of minorities, right? So I do feel that South Asians would play a major role overall if we look at Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, and Sri Lankans, and they would come out heavily in support of Kamala Harris. And I think there are contestation within South Asian diaspora among Indians, Pakistanis, and Bangladeshis, but there are also moments of solidarity. And I think this would be one moment where they will come together to support a democratic ticket.
That's a very interesting point. But of late, we have seen a lot of bonhomie between Prime Minister Modi and President Trump, which was reflected in the Howdy Modi and the Namaste Trump events, where the Indian diaspora has turned out in large numbers. So do you think this would in any way affect the voting? Because Indian Americans have traditionally voted Democrats. So is there a growing support for the Republican Party?
Yeah, that's the question which everyone is asking and everyone is thinking about. And in some ways, I think what Prime Minister Modi has done is quite unprecedented in terms of his the ways in which he has put himself into the American electoral conversation by joining Trump in ways that head of states don't do, like head of states don't do rallies. Head of states don't do that kind of campaign style rally, right? So Modi has put himself into American political conversation in ways that is quite unprecedented, and he has put himself completely behind Trump in that sense, in completely uncritical ways, right? So that question, a lot of people are asking that question. So what does it mean for Indian Americans, right? And so you are exactly right that Indian Americans are heavily democratic. And we have seen that in the last 3 to 4 election cycles, Indian Americans have voted heavily Democratic for Obama 2 elections and then for Hillary Clinton, right? And so my own sense is that that dynamics is not going to change, but I have something which is hot off the press. There was a survey which was conducted and the result came out yesterday. And I'm not a part of the survey. Two professors, political science professors, they are also my friend, Karthik Ramakrishnan and Janelle Wong. They conducted the survey and they announced the results. And what we are seeing in that survey, so I'll tell you the top numbers that it's a survey of Asian Americans. So they're looking at Indian Americans, Chinese, Japanese, Filipino, Korean, Vietnamese. These are 6 large groups, right? So they're looking at their inclination in this election. And what they found was that Indian Americans are voting overwhelmingly for Biden. So 65% of Indian Americans are favoring Biden when they're asked who they would vote for. And 28% of them are favoring Trump, right? So there is a gap of 37 point, which is a huge gap, right? But then there is a caveat. Caveat is that when you compare this to 2016 post-election survey, that was post-election, this is pre-election. In that post-election survey, what we saw was that Indian Americans supported Clinton 77% and Trump 16%, right? So you see a little bit of shift, right? So 10-point shift may be possible. Now this is pre-election, so around 68% people are undecided, right? So they are still deciding, right? So ultimate number we'll come to know later, but I would say just one thing that we see that overwhelming support of Indian Americans for Democrats stage, there is a little bit of shift, but 37-point gap. And so to answer your question, yes, we are seeing some impact. And possibly one can say that that could be because of this Bonhomie. We can't be fully sure, but some of it is playing role. But the bottom line is that Indian Americans are overwhelmingly going for Democrat, despite the attempt to turn this into an election on sort of on the question of how political parties are aligned with India.
That's very interesting, because what you just said ties in with my next question, which is that the size of the Indian voters are small, but can they affect the outcomes in the critical swing states because of their concentration in a few places?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And as we know, and you might also know, that Indian Americans traditionally have been concentrated in places like California, New Jersey, New York. These are all blue states or Democratic states. They are not swing states, right? So that has been the traditional sort of destination for Indian Americans. But now, in the last 10 to 15 years, we have seen sizable concentration of Indian Americans in other places also. So states like, for example, Texas. Texas has second largest voting population of Indian Americans after California, right? States like Florida, Pennsylvania, Georgia, North Carolina, all these are swing states, right? And in these states, you don't have Indian American population comparable to California, but in Texas, there is a heavy number. And in other states also, there is a sizable number, right? And we know that swing states are swing states because they are very close, right? And the 2016 election, places like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, the margin was very, very slim, right? So given that context, any group which has that kind of number would become important, right? If one says that Indian Americans can become important in those places, I think there are scenarios in which if Indian Americans lean heavily towards Democrat, and more importantly, if the turnout in large numbers, because now the election is about turnout, who turns out to vote, right? So if they get excited, if Democrats are able to reach out to them in big numbers or in intense ways, and if the turnout in big numbers, then that can make a difference. So to respond to your question, yes, Indian Americans are important, and they are being looked at in that manner by political parties because they can make a difference. And even Trump paying that much attention to Indian Americans, that also shows that in their calculation, even 5% shift can, in certain situation, become important. So in that sense, I think it's an interesting election.
Moving back to the issue of polarization, recently there seems to be a polarization within the Indian diaspora as divisions within India manifest themselves in the Indian American community. How do you see this play out in the forthcoming elections?
I wrote a book which you mentioned earlier, and that book is called Desi is Divided, The Political Lives of South Asian Americans. And the whole premise of the book is that if we want to understand a group like Indian Americans and their political participation, their political mobilization, then we have to understand not only what unifies them, but also what divides them, right? And there are certain kinds of cleavages that are sort of playing an important role in how they are mobilizing themselves, right? And so in my book, I point to things like religion, I point to things like class, I point to things like regional background, language, etc. Right? So Indian Americans are coming from different kinds of backgrounds, and there are cleavages that play important role in how they mobilize themselves, right? And so in my work, I emphasize religion as an important element of conflict, right? And in that, I think what we are seeing today, when we are looking at Indian American diaspora, then what we are seeing is the politics of religious division in India is being transported to diaspora and Indian American diaspora in a big way. And I would also say that when we think about diasporic politics, which emerges from India, in the past we had seen Congress trying to mobilize diaspora on nationalist platforms. So if you can, you might be aware that Congress was very, and Indian government was very engaged in mobilizing Indian American diaspora in 2006 to pass India-US nuclear deal, right? And Indian American diaspora played a major role in that, right? And so it was a nationalist platform where they wanted to mobilize Indian diaspora in favor of Indian nationalism. And that Indian nationalism always has an edge of anti-Pakistan and all of that, right? So there is that element, right? So there is that kind of diasporic mobilization, which is nationalist of a particular kind. And now we have diasporic mobilization, which is Hindu nationalist, right? And which is very pronounced in its emphasis on Hindu nationalism, right? And so, so that kind of diasporic mobilization, in my opinion, has fractured diaspora in even more intense ways, in even more sharper ways. And so things like Citizenship Amendment Act, right? They played in a very interesting way in diaspora, and there was a lot of mobilization in the US, particularly among Muslim communities, among Christian communities, among even among Sikh community and larger secular population, right? And people mobilized to oppose CAA because CAA was against minority population in India, right? And similarly, when Article 370 was scrapped and the whole crackdown on Kashmir started, there was massive mobilization in the US, right? And so what we are seeing in the US in Indian diaspora is very intense fractures along religious line and sort of polarization on the issue of Hindu nationalism, right? And we are seeing many manifestations of that, right? So that is defining diaspora today. Now, to your question, is that going to impact voting preferences of Indian Americans in 2020 elections? The answer is, I think, answer is not simple, right? So I don't think that as far as voting in American election is concerned, Indians are polarized along religious lines. Indians are by and large united on the issue of who to vote for in American election, right? And so barring a small section which thinks that any criticism of India, any criticism of Narendra Modi, any criticism of CAA or what's happening in Kashmir is the most important issue, that is a minor section, but large segment of diasporic population is united on the question of how to think about American politics. And within American politics, Indians, whether they are Hindu or Muslim or Christian or Sikh, they see themselves as minority. They see themselves as people who are being attacked by white supremacists, by politics of white racial resentment, by the politics of white Christian supremacy, right? And in that, they see themselves as minority and they want to come together and they want to protect themselves, right? And so in that context, in two-party context, you see Indian Americans largely aligning themselves with Democratic Party, right? And so this division is very intense within diaspora and it's playing out in multiple ways. But as far as this election is concerned, as the numbers show, we are seeing a kind of mobilization behind Democratic Party in big way. But that is a factor, and Howdy Modi and Namaste India, all of that is kind of playing up to that. And so we are seeing sort of that section also becoming kind of very vocal. They are vocal, they are not big in numbers, they are vocal. So that's how it's playing out largely in American election.
That was also a very interesting perspective. I'd like to finally ask, what are some of the main issues that are in play in the Democratic and Republican quest for votes of the Indian diaspora? And how strong are the diaspora's concerns on H-1B visas?
So H-1B visa is something that is an important issue that has really impacted the Indian-American community, particularly Indian-American community in a big way, because almost 70% of H-1B visas go to Indian-Americans, right? And so they are the primary beneficiary of H-1B visas, right? And so I think that's an important issue, and that has really, that's part of community conversation. A lot of people talk about it, right? And so I would say that is a big part of the conversation. Green card backlog, right? That is a big part of the conversation, because there is a huge backlog. And if people follow American immigration system, then there's a long wait for green card, particularly for Indians. And there are calculations that if nothing is done, then an Indian who applies today would have to wait for something like 50 years to get their green card, right? So it's ridiculous the kind of wait that people have to go through, right? And so all these are issues. Question of family reunification, all of that is also a big issue. So immigration is an important issue. But now the thing that we need to understand is that large part of Indian American community is non-voting. They are non-citizens, right? So approximately 50% of Indian Americans are not citizens, right? And people who are citizens, they are a little bit removed from their H-1B experience, right? Because they have lived in the US for at least 10, 15, even 20 years. After that, they get to that stage where they are citizens, right? And then there is a second generation population, which has very different concerns, right? And when I looked at this survey that I referred to, the survey which came out a couple of days back, and they asked questions about what are your concerns, what are your important concerns, right? And in that, immigration is there, but at the top of Indian American concerns are things like education, right? And people are concerned about education of their kids, because college education is crazy in the US in terms of tuitions, etc. They're concerned about education, they're concerned about healthcare, they're concerned about COVID, right? They're concerned about who is going to handle COVID better, right? They're concerned about environment. So in other words, they're concerned about things that other voters are concerned about, right? They're concerned about racial discrimination in a big way, because that is a part of their, if not day-to-day experience, then that is a part of their living, right? They experience that, right? So they're concerned about that, and immigration is a part of that, right? And so those are the things that they're thinking about, and how are Democrats reaching out to them? Democrats are appealing to some of these issues, right? And so Indian Americans, by and large, in these surveys, they emerge as very progressive on these issues, on the issue of immigration, on the issue of even Muslim ban or discrimination against Muslims. They emerge as very, very progressive, right? Not that there is no Islamophobia in Indian American community, but there is that kind of policy preference that has emerged. So Democrats are playing up to that. Republicans, what I have seen, the way Republicans are appealing to Indians, there are platforms like low taxes, et cetera, but what Republicans are doing in this election cycle is that they are, in all their ads that are aimed at Indian Americans, they are only playing Narendra Modi, right? Narendra Modi and Trump together in Houston and in India when he went there, right? So that's what they're playing. They're not even pointing to the fact that Trump administration appointed so many Indian Americans in their administration. In none of their ads, they are saying that, look at our administration, we appointed so many Indian Americans. They are not saying that. So they are completely focused on Narendra Modi, and they are pointing to two things that Indian Americans are concerned about. The fact that Democrats have criticized India on the question of Citizenship Amendment Act, and Democrats have criticized India on the question of Article 370. That's what they are highlighting, right? But I don't think that is playing out that well. I mean, there is a small section that is buying into that, but largely, so that's how they are approaching Indian American community, which is a very, very interesting thing to see, right? That if a party wants to appeal to Indian Americans, then they have to get to their concerns, right? And it's also important to underline that immigrant community in general are not focused on their country of origin as much. When elections come, they're concerned much more about what's happening in country, right? And so if a party thinks that Indians only think about what is happening in India and what's happening in relation to India, that is a very short-sighted approach, right? And in most cases, that does not happen, right? So that's how it is playing out right now.
Thank you, Dr. Mishra. That was a very interesting conversation. We really appreciate you taking your time and talking to us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks for giving me the chance.
Thank you. You were listening to South Asia Chat. To learn more about our work, visit us at isas.nus.edu.sg.